Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm here with Becky Minton and Lucy Wilson-Shaw, who were involved in WOW. Now, this was a high point of the programme for me because I didn't really know what it was. What was WOW at lunchtime, Becky?
WOW was a session called Ways of Working, and we were talking about and listening to other panel members share their experiences about new ways or brave ways of working in healthcare and in IAPT. Looking at changing from hierarchical management structures to self-managing flat structured teams.
And is there a reason why? Is this just because we think it might be a good idea, or is there a specific problem that we're trying to address with this?
I think it can solve lots of different problems. I mean, the benefits so we hear of those ways of working are linked to improving satisfaction of staff at work and retention. And we heard from Rob, who works at Maiden, about how staff really enjoy this way of working and always have stayed working in the company for a long time since they've implemented this way of working, as well as we heard from Tanya from Public World talking about the Bertzorg model, whereby these self-managing teams have helped to focus the care around patients.
Alicia, is this something that you've tried out in your location?
Yeah, so I've been trying out kind of ways to introduce this into an NHS IAPT service. For those reasons, for engagement of staff, so people feeling like they really didn't have enough input into the way the work was being done and the service or the service was being run. But also, I think something Rob talked about was kind of preventing those blocks to efficiency in the service, because if everything kind of has to go through a certain person, or every time you want to make a change, you have to kind of go up three layers of hierarchy to get permission to do something, that kind of really slows you down in terms of making changes. So I think that's another reason for doing it. So I've been trying to introduce a way of working that when we have a problem in the service, we gather together a group of people who might be across lots of different levels, job roles in the service, to kind of come and work together and think in an equal way. So there's, within that group of people, we're very explicit that the hierarchy stays out of that group and everyone's there on equal footing to work together to think about how best to solve the problem, and then they can then go ahead, draw on what resources they need to in order to implement that and kind of review how it's gone. So trying to implement that as a way of working across the service, rather than being everything goes to management, like, here's the problem, you sort it out, please tell us what to do, because actually staff are not happy with that way of doing things.
And I guess IAPT services are quite variable in the way they're set up. Some are quite traditional in their hierarchies and some are a little bit more kind of revolutionary in that sense. Have you got a thought about how this approach is likely to go down, what the barriers or the kind of ways of implementing this might be?
I mean, I think some of the barriers are people don't like change initially, so it's a new way of working, and it takes time. So people have got to be really invested in it from the start. The leadership has got to sort of agree that this is in some ways a way that can work within the service, but it takes people at all different levels and people to be sort of enthusiastic about wanting to take responsibility and accountability over different things. So I think that's probably one of the barriers.
Yeah, and I think another of the barriers is people starting to see that involvement in service development as part of their jobs, that it's not just their job to kind of be a clinician delivering care to people, but it's also part of their jobs to think and input about how the service develops and take that responsibility and that role on. And that's quite a shift for some people, I think.
We've heard a lot this afternoon about staff well-being and burnout in practitioners. Do you think this is a way that we might be able to prevent some of that from happening?
Yeah, I mean, personally I do, because I think my experience is when people feel that they have an involvement and ownership over the work and the team and the way things are done, that makes their job a lot more satisfying for themselves. So it still might be a demanding, time-challenging, difficult job, but they feel they have that level of involvement and choice over how things are done and input into that, and that, I think, decreases that risk of burnout.
And I guess having a flat management structure is perhaps most challenging for people at the top, because basically they're getting rid of their responsibility or they're handing over the power. What was your experience of it?
So my experience was, so I guess a bit mixed, because in some ways it's quite liberating, because coming into a job and everyone looking at you like you're the person who's going to solve all the problems is quite frankly a little bit overwhelming. And also when I was speaking about those kind of blocks, it's like I only have so much time in my day. I can't be working on all those projects at the same time and being the person that's responsible for all of them because things aren't going to change. And I enjoy my job a lot more if it's more about working with people to think about how to change things and getting them involved rather than feeling like I have to do everything. So it actually hasn't felt too difficult. I think where it does become difficult is when you're working within an exterior structure that still has a lot of that hierarchy and maybe puts you in the position where actually you individually are being held responsible for everything, and so that mismatch of the culture that might be within your team but the culture that stands outside of it, which takes a different viewpoint on it, so it can be a bit challenging.
Well, like the NHS, you mean?
Yes, your NHS trust, the wider NHS, the sort of like it is a very, you're existing in a very hierarchical structure. And it's difficult to get away from that. And it's also, it creates that challenge of you might create that culture in your team. In this working group, we're all on an even footing, but everybody knows you're on a band 8A, you're on a band 7, I'm only on a band 4. So how you kind of get around that and change that culture can be quite tricky. And I don't know what implications that have. Maybe are we ever going to shift that banding structure? Are we going to value those jobs differently and grade people differently in their work and say that actually, you know, everyone's job is valuable and the work of a PWP is as valuable as the work of a high intensity therapist? That's quite a big question, isn't it?
First things first, let's just make sure we're paying women as much as men.
Yes.
This is really positive about this. Becky, what's your thought?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think even tiny changes need to happen as a starting point. Like, let's not refer to staff as they're banding, or you're a band 4, you're a band 5. That's totally, as we've in my team, try not to refer to that. More about kind of you're a clinician, and doesn't matter kind of what level you are. But again, yeah, it's going to take a lot of time to shift this, but I think this is a kind of brave way of working, and I think will help to be the kind of future of the way services should set up to manage the demands and support staff.
Brilliant, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.